stop saying all right, because we got a lot to talk about tonight. Welcome to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me tonight is the chairman of the board, Mike McBath, fresh off a high-level meeting last night at Westgate.
Chris, it was very nice that you attended it and you monitored what was taking place.
Indeed, I did.
And you participated.
Indeed, I did. All right, and participating in tonight's show is going to be Rick Brown. He's sitting in with us tonight. Once again, Rick, thanks.
Hello, sir. Thank you very much. I worked until 11:30 last night. So
that's only because you're a small businessman. And a business owner, you own your own business, which means you get to set your own hours, right?
Yes, all 16 of them.
That's right. You get to set your own hours, but they're always taken up. But anyway, we want to take up a couple of your hours here tonight, folks, and of course you can be a part of the show. All you have to do is give us a call at 407-774-8255, and of course tonight is Thursday night, contest night. So you'll need to keep that phone close by so you can get in tonight's contest. We'll go over the rules here in just a moment. In the meantime, please, once again, now, Friday is the deadline for our Tax Day Bonus Sweepstakes. So there are two ways to enter. You can go to am660theanswer.com, and you can do this once each day now between, well, that's tomorrow, today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't done it, at least get in once or twice anyway, because somebody's going to win that bonus. Sweepstakes is a sweet $4,000.
They'll be able to apply that to Hillary's $1 trillion tax raise that she's promised all of us, right?
Yeah, but think of all the wonderful things we're going
to
get for
it. I know, just think of things you'll be able to do for everybody. Wrong.
There'll even be things in there for white people.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a lot to talk about tonight. And, of course, you can also enter the contest via your app, the free app in your smart device, the WORL-FM-AM app, which you can also find at am660theanswer.com. That way you can do it from that smart device, as well as listen to us live at any time, anywhere with that smart device, as well as participate in our daily poll questions like today's question. Right, Nick?
That is correct. And pretty simple, straightforward question. Today you guys have been talking about it all week, about Donald Trump and Ted Cruz in Colorado. So we ask tonight, was Donald Trump cheated out of delegates in Colorado? And right now we're at 80% no.
Oh,
really? I'm surprised at that.
I am.
I don't know. You know, it's the terminology.
I was going to say.
That's correct. Yeah.
I don't think he was cheated out of them. The rules were there. However, the rules were so flawed, the people cheated were the voters.
Right.
You know, they were the ones that were really treated unfair.
They didn't get it to vote. Now, I saw a great cartoon of Ted Cruz this week.
Yeah.
And it said, if I can find a way to cheat, I'll win. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
That's tonight's poll question. And we're not going to tell Mike the results from last night's poll question. We don't want him pulling his hair out.
What was it?
It turned around.
It did?
It did. Do you want to give them to him?
Yeah,
Nick?
Give it to us.
Since you're on the other side of the glass, he can't reach you.
Help me.
Let me find it.
Last night's poll question had to do with
the drug policy, right?
Right, yeah. Right.
Do you agree with Orlando Police Department issuing just citations for small amounts of marijuana? Initially, it started out like 80-20 no. Then it started fluctuating, and then it flipped.
Yeah, it flipped. We ended up...
Something sounds phony, though, because it was like 5 of when you gave us the results, and, you know, no was winning.
Well, we know who's listening to the 5 o'clock hour, and
now
I know
I can
who's
figure
listening
it out.
To the 6 o'clock hour.
I guess
we love you all, though.
Yeah. The mayor and all his friends are down there having a good time calling in late.
Anyway,
you know?
What were the final results, Nick?
It ended up 68% said yes.
Then it was okay idea.
I don't know. It sounds like I'm going to be like Trump. It sounds like the fix is in.
Maybe we just got a lot of libertarians out there. We'll take it. Anyway, today's poll question has to do with Colorado. All right. And the wording is, do you think he was cheated? But it was cheating rules, I tell you what. And in essence, they did it not to cheat him, but certainly to deny him, because this was done in August. I mean, they used to do a straw poll, which they decided to change in August. This wasn't like they didn't like it the last time, and so they reworked it after the last election or something like that. The whole set of rules was changed precisely because someone like Trump could get in the way of their plans. So maybe not so much cheating because it was by the rules, but them was cheating rules.
But I mean, you know, the problem is the populace are supposed to be the individuals that choose our candidates. Well, I mean, that's by theory, right?
Yes, sure.
And the reality of it is they cheated. That's the right word, in my opinion. They cheated the whole
voters.
Populace.
Absolutely.
This little group of, Caesars. So, you know, I sit there and go, yeah, I think it was a real unfair, and I think Trump suffered. Because I believe that Trump would have carried certainly a number of delegates out of that. Not that whole amount
but I think
would affect it.
I think the flip side is I think he's getting some pretty good political mileage out of it.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you, Chris. I mean, he's gotten a good conversation. And I think it's raising the furor of the public because they're all thinking, this is so unfair, I can't believe this.
Well, exactly. And
right, I agree with you.
And his defenders, and I'm talking about Cruz, come out and say, well, it was all by the rules, he didn't cheat him, the question. But see, that's even worse when the rules are designed to be so exclusive.
You know what Ted Cruz doesn't realize is that the rules were put in place to defeat him as well.
Exactly.
If you think of back in August, there were four candidates that the establishment was really afraid of, right?
Right.
There was Carly, there was Ben Carson, there was Ted Cruz, and there was Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And so they were hedging their bets.
That's right, exactly what they were doing. And by the way, there's tapes now that come out that clearly show that the state, what do they call him? I guess he's the state party chair. Yeah, the Colorado party chair. He admits on this, video that they're speculating that Trump is going to flare out, and at the end of the day, Cruz is going to be the guy. Obviously, he has a Cruz bias.
Right.
This
right.
was recently.
Yeah.
This wasn't back in August.
I think they call him more than the party chair.
Yeah.
They call him a lot more.
They need to remind him that our party chair did time a few years ago.
He sure did. That's right, Jim Greer. And he's still pretty bitter about it, too, I understand, because he's the only one that did time. And there was a lot of, hands in the cookie jar.
Oh, yeah.
And the campaign rolls on. Trump was speaking last night in Pittsburgh. He did both a rally and he did a town hall with Sean Hannity, which I just caught the tail end of that because we were out. But there was a point in that rally that inspired the old Penn State bug in you, didn't it?
I know. I mean, actually, I was surprised he had the guts to bring this up because this is still controversial. He said to the crowd, well, how's Joe Paterno? And they all cheered and yelled. And then he goes on and he said, well, you know, I went to school in Pennsylvania. And he said, I love Penn State. And but you know what? It took some guts to do that. But he also knew his crowd because, you know, he's in Pennsylvania. That's central, I call it. And they're big Penn State fans. And then I saw the day all the weasels were out there criticizing him for saying, how's Joe Paterno? But I'd like to remind the weasels that on September 16th, mostly all the Penn State football players are returning to Penn State to honor. Yeah, that's right. Get it straight. We're not the media. We knew the guy. You, the media, didn't know him at all. And we know what actually went on, which still hasn't been revealed. But we're going back there to honor him and hopefully put a statue up and then soon name the stadium after Joe, because we've had enough with this media garbage.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they're going to put a statue back up. And this whole story with Paterno, Penn State, and even Sandusky
right.
has not yet been told. The whole story has not been told. And there was a lot of lying and deceiting going on.
There was a massive amount of deception.
Yeah.
And, Sandusky, I mean, I knew because he was on the team with me 2 or 4 years, and he was a guy that when they did the interview, you know, Lion Ted, the Lion lawyer from Washington, what happened, he never interviewed one former player who knew Jerry better than anybody. They never interviewed one former coach who had worked with Jerry either before or after, never interviewed any close friends of Jerry's. This was a setup, and now. But on the Paterno side, it was really pathetic what they did to him. because, I mean, this is a guy that is as clean as you could possibly be. And what he did at Penn State with the highest graduation record in the country, this guy was high, high quality, and he wouldn't accept less than perfection. So thank you, Don Trump. I will vote for you again because you've said the right thing.
He would not accept less
out of either his
players or his coaching staff.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get much further into this conversation, you know, we've come up with a contest, and, you know, we have to get to the contest rules because we want to get to the contest
rules
entries.
Are important. We've learned that this week.
And I want to get to my contest entry because I think it's a lot better than my last one.
Whoa.
Which wasn't very good at all. But go ahead and give us the rules.
Yeah, what we're doing is we're going to name vice presidents, you know, for Hillary and Bernie.
VP picks.
And it can be, you know, for Trump, can be for Cruz, and even Kasich. Not that I think he'll be around, but a perfect example. Now, for Bernie, I'm going to make a suggestion. I'm suggesting El Chapo. I think El Chapo, you know, he's sitting in prison right now. He was one of the great drug dealers. I think Bernie could probably get him a pardon. Then El Chapo could supply all his voters, you know, with drugs, and then they could stay in that, what I call, stoned and stupid state, and they would certainly vote for him at the time of the election. So I think he would be an excellent vice president for our good friend Bernie.
All right.
As for Hillary, I got to run with Eric Holder. I mean, this is a match made in heaven, right? This is
a
guy.
She's going to need a good lawyer.
I know. These are two lawyers. These are two crooked lawyers. These are two individuals that, you know, Eric Holder, anything goes. You know, this guy, and he's a racist.
Yeah.
So he'll be just perfect. So I think that's my vice presidential choices for these individuals. But I really would love to hear what our listening public has to say about theirs. So
right.
Should be fun. Maybe we'll come up with the real answer. Who knows?
All right. Should I give mine now?
Yes, please. I need a laugh.
You want to hear mine now? Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to name a pick for Hillary as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think Hillary's running mate should be Martha Stewart.
That's a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
Because she's going to need some advice. She's going to need a mentor on proper prison etiquette.
Very good, Chris. You're running strong right now.
She's going to have to know how to make her way around a federal prison.
Right.
Right. And, you know, you start with keep your eyes and your ears open and your mouth shut. And then there'll be, of course, all the little doilies and things they can make up together
right.
and make just a nice little, you know, cottage of their prison cell there.
That would be
so
a very good
Martha
vice
Stewart.
Presidential
yeah,
choice.
She's been there, done that.
Wow.
Right.
That's good.
And then I've picked one for Trump.
All right.
I think you're going to like this one, too. For Donald Trump, I'm through with Cruz. I now think that the dream ticket is Donald Trump and Chris Rock.
All right.
Now, here's why I say Chris Rock should be on the ticket. You remember back, what was it? 3 or 4 weeks ago, the right. Academy Awards.
Yeah, right, I do remember.
Big Sunday night show yep. and everything. On the Academy Awards, which he hosted, he had the guts, the courage, and the gall to stand up there in front of all those Hollywood hypocrites, make fun of every one of them, mm-hmm. call them racists, and he did this not only to their face, but on international TV, and had him applauding him for it. Now, that's what I call communication skills. Right?
No, that's another
right?
good one.
You're right.
Trump and Chris Rock, Hillary and Martha Stewart, who are your picks? We want to hear them tonight, folks. 407-774-8255.
I don't know if the Republican Party is going to agree with our picks. You know, I'm sure they're sitting there ripping their hair out. Are these sickos believing these people?
You're putting out feelers into the black community, right?
Yeah, we're fair. I mean, El Chapo, right?
And who else?
An immigrant.
Who else could have sat there and told those Hollywood hypocrites what racists they were and had them laughing and applauding it?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Sure.
I mean, that's nothing short of a communications miracle. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we want to start hearing some contest entries. Plus, we have some other stuff to talk about as well. So please join us.
Baby face.
Yeah, the cutest little baby face. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. 407-774-8255.
Chris, I like your entry into this contest. This is probably the first time in 10 weeks I think you got a chance of winning it, except you're going to be disqualified, so it doesn't really matter.
By the way, we'll get right to the phone lines, but speaking of those Hollywood hypocrites, there's a story in the Washington Post where it explains how Hollywood has come out against efforts to stop or curtail something called revenge porn. Do you guys know what revenge porn is? You want to explain real quick what revenge
porn
is?
Yeah, I'm sure you're an expert.
Revenge porn, I believe, is when your girlfriend or boyfriend cheats on you and you release tapes of them onto the internet. Or you go cut a video to get back at them and release that to the internet.
Yeah, in essence, it's former acquaintances, flames, whatever, releasing naked videos of you or pictures of you online to get back at you for spurning them or whatever.
I don't think that's a good idea.
But of course,
Hollywood thinks it's okay.
No, wait a second.
Yeah.
They think it's okay?
They think revenge porn is okay. That's right, because of the freedom of speech.
And if you use Union Cruise.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That is really...
And actors from the String and Actors Guild, mm-hmm. right? They said the only way it should be prohibited is if you can you could prove intent. Now, it would seem that the act itself would be some proof of intent, that, you know, you have pictures that you thought were going to be private put out there in public, that would be someone knowingly do that. You would think that would show intent in and of itself, but not according to the Hollywood hypocrites.
That's going to be an expensive lawsuit. That's what it really is.
Right,
you know?
Right. And by the way, the ACLU is joining the fight, and, of course, the ACLU even defends child porn. So
yeah, that's a great group of people.
A brave new world we live in, isn't it, right?
No, we need common sense is what we need.
All right, we'll get back to the phone lines now. Tommy is up first. Tommy, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being out there.
Hey, how y'all today?
Excellent.
All right,
yourself.
Tommy.
Good. A couple things. I think I was just thinking that a great running mate for Hillary might be O.J. Simpson, because I think that he is going to be the person to mentor her on how to live a life after she's found not guilty of something that is so obvious.
I should have come up with that. That is very good, Tommy.
Number two, I think every time they make a law that I would consider to be somewhat ridiculous, they should be compelled to take an equally ridiculous law off of the books. And number three, my point in calling today is, I don't know, I haven't heard any speak of it, but why haven't some of these political brains gotten a hold of Donald and Cruz, which I have both of their stickers on my car. I got Donald on the left and Cruz on my right.
You're talking
like
my
that, Rosie's on my left and Mary's
Cruz
on my right.
I put Cruz on my car first because I didn't think Donald was going to be able to get this far. But I'm a Donald guy. But it's like, why don't they get them to shut up about hating each other? And then at the convention, get them together with the proviso of this. As far as I know, they can use each other as delegates to secure the nomination.
That's correct.
President and vice president. And then when they get in there, they could have a plan to have Cruz resign and go and become the Supreme Court justice we need. You know?
I understand where you're going, and we have been talking about this matchup on this show for months. For I don't know how long I've been saying Trump Cruz is the dream ticket, and not only just to get elected, but then to get things done once elected. To me, that's the more important task here. It's not just winning the election; it's being able to govern after we win the election, because we got a huge mess to clean up here, and we're going to need everybody's going to have to roll up their sleeves and do some hard work. I agree with you on that, Tommy. But we've been talking about it, and we are encouraging. Every now and then I blast them like I did last night. And by the way, I have passed on a suggestion that was made by B. Brian Blair on the show. I have passed it on that suggests that they should get together, and we'll see what happens. At the end of the day, Trump is a practical man. He will go with Cruz if he sees the value in Cruz. The question I have right now is, would Cruz go for being second on the ticket? And I hope he would. But, Tommy, please stay on the line so Nick can get your information because you're in the contest with that Hillary and OJ VP pick. I love that. That's great stuff. Thank you, Tommy.
I hope Alex is going to have as good. You know,
yeah, Alex will be
on
up
after,
next.
That's right.
Yeah, Alex, please hold. You will be up first.
That OJ was good. And OJ liked blondes. Isn't Hillary a blonde?
We don't know for sure.
Hopefully she is.
Bill might know.
He probably forgot by now, though.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
Hey-o! Chris, how do you think Hacksaw would react with Black Lives Matter?
I was just thinking he would make a good VP pick for somebody.
Oh, he would be.
Right?
And, you know, his father was the chief of police.
That's right.
And actually, Hacksaw was the state champ in high school in wrestling and everything. Oh. And he played college football at SMU. And what drove him to professional wrestling, he was a rookie with the Atlanta Falcons. Hurt his knee to the point he couldn't play. And then he began the march. But he's doing nightclubs acts now, and he's doing very, very well because we both know him very well. He's a really funny guy.
I thought he got out of the NFL because he couldn't make as much money in the NFL
right,
as he did at SMU.
I know. Yeah. He went back to school, the graduate school, and played. I do know a guy that played at a certain college. It's a true story. He played his 4 years of eligibility. They changed his name and everything. This is one of these deep South colleges.
Right.
And then, you know, he grew a mustache and he played another year and they paid for his graduate school under a fictitious name. That's great, right? And if I mentioned a school, you'd agree with me, too, I'll tell you. You
know. All right, it's Thursday. That means we got a Thursday contest going, and we are looking for VP picks for our presidential candidates. It could be any one or any couple of them.
Tommy's was pretty good, though. I think he just shot that out with even thinking about it.
I don't know. It seemed to roll right off. You know, O.J. Simpson as a VP candidate for Hillary Clinton.
Right.
So that he can mentor her on how to act after she's acquitted of a crime everyone knows she's guilty of.
I think Tommy hit it right on the button. I thought that was real good.
And Alex, I'm sorry we lost you. We dropped you during the break.
We'll give him priority. If he comes back, no matter what line you're in, you're first.
You will be first, Alex. 407-774-8255. If you have a contest entry, we would love to hear it tonight.
And Chris, give me one of yours. One of your best two.
I like the Chris Rock one.
Okay.
For Trump, it'd be Chris Rock. And that's because Chris Rock had the guts and the gall to stand up on international television at the Academy Awards and to an audience of Hollywood hypocrites explain to them how they're racist and hypocrites.
Right.
And they applauded and laughed at it. So anybody that can do that needs to be in politics, right? Especially as divided as this country is, Chris Rock, Donald Trump, they could make America great again.
He'd be a good front man. He'd draw a big crowd. He'd have everything done once. You know?
Yeah, they both speak the same language, right?
Well,
I mean, in terms of words they use. Okay,
that's good.
All right. So that's what we're looking for here tonight. Speaking of, we played the Babyface tune in the last break. Once again, you heard it here first, folks. It was just 2 weeks ago tomorrow that I came in here and I talked about how Donald Trump had been playing the role in wrestling of what they call the heel. These are the bad guys. These are the real bully types. They come in and they just create havoc and everything. And of course, everyone loves to hate them. This is the key. Everyone loves to hate them, right? And that at some point that he knew what he was doing, and that at some point he was going to transition into what they call more of a baby face. These are the good guys in professional wrestling, right? The guys who everybody loves. And John Cena has been a very popular baby face. They've tried to make him a heel a couple of times, but it didn't go over. partly because he's such a good baby face.
I was going to say he's too good a guy to go bad on you.
Can't
go rogue.
Well, and see, this is part of the dynamic that a baby face, when a baby face goes to be a heel, goes bad. He loses his. Everybody then hates him, right? Now, professional wrestling, that works because you're getting the people fired up. And it doesn't matter if they hate the guy or love the guy. The point is it's one or the other. But in politics, you can't do that. You can't go from being a good guy to a bad guy. Look at Marco Rubio. Didn't work, right? But everybody loves to see the bad guy turn good. It's happening right now before our very eyes. I spoke about, I forget the instance I cited the other day, but we saw a couple of more of it here over the last couple of days. Night before last, they had a town hall with Anderson Cooper. Now, last night it was with Ted Cruz. And in both cases, it was an attempt to show us the softer side of the candidate, mm-hmm. if you will. They brought out their family, their children and stuff. And, you know, Ted Cruz has these two adorable little daughters. So, of course, everybody's, but with Trump, he's got his son, Barron. And then he has, of course, his grown children. Mm-hmm. And they are all extremely impressive people. And it was a softening of the Trump tone, if you will. Mm-hmm. Well, guess who invited him to meet with her, and he accepted?
Who?
Well, who's been his big rival in the media?
Oh, Megyn Kelly.
Megyn Kelly.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
This is, once again, but this is the
they both
transition.
Win if they get together.
This is the transition, of Trump from heel to babyface.
Right.
And all his fans who loved him as a heel will still love him as a babyface, and then he's going to bring in others as well. And people who were on the fence and weren't sure, and then they see him in this other role, and they begin to envision him now. Yes, he can act presidential. He can be a statesman. He can be somebody we're proud of to be president of the United States. Watch for this trend to continue.
But, Chris, do you really believe the Iron Sheik could become a babyface? Not in this environment, I can tell you that.
No, but in politics it can happen.
Yeah, no, I'm sure.
He will not leave entirely the persona of heel behind. Okay, that will never disappear entirely. But you will absolutely begin to see more and more instances of the babyface side of Donald Trump.
And I'll tell you, every time you observe his family, I am so impressed with these children. How they never drank, they never had drug problems. You know, they're extremely well educated. He worked them from the youngest of age. And I mean, for a guy that had the money, the credibility, this guy did a great job. And I just think of the hundreds of thousands, you know, Rick, you run a company, of people that work for him. How many times was he ever charged with being a racist or anything like that? Right. To me, it's amazing the guy could run a track record so well, and his treatment of women actually had to be, you know, absolutely perfect this day and age because everybody's out looking for you. So I don't know what more the guy could do, and it really does irk me no end when they say, oh, he's a racist and we're picking him. You know, this guy's, the more I watch this guy, the more I like him, not dislike him.
Right. Well, you know, I read in the Boston Globe he's a racist, though.
Oh, well, if you read it there, email me that article.
Yeah,
exactly. If they said it, then I'm wrong.
Right. I was kind of surprised with those phony headlines. I actually liked a couple of them.
I know.
So, I didn't see anything wrong with some of them.
I was going, hey, this is not a bad idea here. Yeah, but that's... And once again, you're going to see more of the softer side of Donald Trump. He is also, by the way, this is interesting in a couple of respects having to do with this delegate stuff and Colorado and all of that, because part of the storyline coming out of the media began to be, well, this is the guy who's supposed to be the successful businessman, the great organizer, and knows everything and is always the winner and everything. Well, this is obviously a new business, or as he says, he's
brand new. Business.
It's new to him in politics. So the interesting thing to watch is not that he has come up against this, shall we call it, bump in the road, but how does he handle it? And I'm not talking about what he's saying on the campaign trail, at least not exclusively. That's part of it. But what is he doing to deal with the problem? Well, first, he started by hiring Paul Manafort. I keep wanting to say Manafort, but it's Manafort. Manafort. Yeah, there you go. That's how I remember it. Paul Manafort, longtime political hand. And yesterday it was announced that he hired the former campaign manager of Scott Walker. And he is beginning to hire people who know their way around the business, so to speak. So it'll be interesting to see how he can put, how fast he can put together what I'm going to call his rapid response team, and how effective that they will be in responding to this, if you want to call it, crisis in his campaign with these delegates.
He's a businessman. It's adaptability. Right there, you're seeing him adjust to the circumstance.
You know the type of team he's going to put together. He's just a genius at doing that.
Yeah. And all he needs to know is what he needs for the team to do.
Yep.
And then he's now obvious what is been, you know, the obstacle to him. So it'll be interesting to see. And don't count it out that he won't get the 1237 delegates. He might actually come in with a pad, in other words, with more than he needs.
I believe there's great momentum because what took place in Colorado, I believe it's really affected the outside populace looking on. They're so irate that a little group of people could virtually knock all the voters out. I believe this is a huge plus for him, as we will see in the next a couple weeks, right?
Yeah. And I want to go back to the first caller, Tommy, there for a minute, because he said he has the Trump and the Cruz stickers his car.
Man, he's forward.
That's cool. And the thing that I think Ted Cruz needs to think about is this right here. What would life be like should he lose? Okay? Now, Trump is this thought has crossed his mind. He's addressed it. As a matter of fact, the question has been put directly to him. I don't know that it's ever been put directly to Ted Cruz, but it's been put directly to Donald Trump. And he said, look, I'll go back to doing what I was doing. I got a pretty good life. You know, I don't have to be doing this. I just want to do it because I want to make America great again. I love this country. But I can go back to what I was doing, right? I want Ted Cruz to contemplate what life might be like for him should he lose. And he might want to look over at his good buddy, Lil Marco. Okay? What is his life going to be like if he loses? Okay? He loses to Donald Trump, let's just say, in the primary here. And he goes out, you know, on a bitter note, the way it's being played out right now. He's doing deals with the mob. He's a con artist. He's the Kardashian candidate. He goes out that way. Okay? And loses. What is his life going to be like? I was thinking about that this morning, and the word that came to mind to me was purgatory. You guys familiar with purgatory?
Oh, we certainly know that.
All right. It ain't heaven. It ain't hell.
I'm in that with
sure
my wife right now.
Right. He will be in Senate purgatory, right? Yeah. He'll be back in the Senate.
Right. Same
where
way.
He obviously doesn't want to be.
And everybody hates him.
And everybody hates him. He's not going to be very effective at anything.
And no media coverage.
No media coverage. He will be a pariah. You might want to think about that possibility, Mr. Cruz, if you happen to be listening out there, or anybody that can relate the message to him.
He could be an integral part of the team if he played his cards right.
He would be a very integral part of the team if he played his cards right.
Instead of attacking the lack of substance that Donald Trump makes, I talk to a lot of people and they say, well, Donald doesn't have any concrete plans and he doesn't express any. But what he does say is, I'm going to put together a team, and that's what he's done his whole life. That's how he's going to address each of the issues that are in front of him.
Yeah, what Ted Cruz and the other politicians need to understand is that, I'm sorry, I don't care how smart you are, how great you were at debating in Harvard, you do not have all the answers.
That's correct.
As a matter of fact, you got precious few, okay? You got some big ideas, and that's great. But you haven't really a clue how you're going to implement them. He comes out today. He talks about the five agencies he's going to eliminate. All right, and I'm going to have to be a bit like Rick Perry here because I can't remember all five.
You got two of them.
But he remembered them all five. The Department of Energy, the Department of Education, and he's going to. I think the IRS was one of them. It's not going to be like we know it to be anymore. Now he's changed it. He's not going to eliminate it. It's not going to be what we understand it to be anymore. He can't eliminate
EPA.
No, he didn't mention EPA.
Really? I'd be going after them first.
I don't think he mentioned EPA. It was energy, education, housing, and urban development. And can you imagine the fights that you're going to provoke in Congress over those things? Great ideas, should not be a priority. The priorities are securing the border, reinvigorating the economy, and by cutting loose of the overburdensome regulations and cutting taxes, and by rebuilding the military. Those are the three priorities. Those are the three things that have to get done, or nothing else matters. And if you pick fights on things that will not get done, but only poison the well, it will make it that much more difficult to get those priorities taken care of.
Now, I also think he's pandering to the outside fringes of his base as well. We're in a kind of a lull in the campaigns, and nobody's paying a whole lot of attention to anything, really. You know, the fights have stopped.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a time where he thinks it's appropriate to go out and start talking about this kind of second-tier stuff, which really doesn't matter, like you said, because there are some people where that's all they care about.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I say, it'd be great if we'd accomplish this. Ronald Reagan tried to get rid of the Department of Education. Newt Gingrich tried to get rid of the Department of Education. These are fights
But, I mean, you got to live within reality. And,
what I mean. These are fights that are not worth fighting right now.
That's right.
Because we have other bigger priorities. Now, you may want to say, well, Barack Obama put us in this predicament. Yeah, maybe he did. The problem is, though, we got to get ourselves out of it. Okay? The time of Obama is passing. We need to think about getting the job done. And this is what the man has proven he can do, and which, by the way, politicians have proven that they're very incapable of doing. No matter how smart they come across or how smart they are. And Barack Obama was a very consequential president, and we got a lot of hard work to do to clean up the mess. And it's going to take all hands on deck. And we don't really have time for valuable players to be in purgatory, but if that's where the man wants to be, if he can only be number one on the ticket or nothing else, well, you might want to contemplate that possibility, because it's definitely out there. All right. What is also definitely up is the time in this segment. Al is up next when we get back. And you can join us as well. And don't forget, we're playing our Thursday evening contest. Tonight is our VIP pick contest.
We got to review the prizes too, Chris.
That's right.
You know, we got money incentive out here.
That's right. We'll do that when we come right back.
Welcome back to the show. You American pigs. Sailing your ships in the Baltic Sea. We will show you. We will fly our jets in. And we will scare you away.
Gee, you sound official. You'll be in the next James Bond movie with an act like that, buddy.
You look around.
Yeah, get your vodka out, you know?
Yeah, they used to call me Boris.
Yeah.
Anyway, the United States Navy has revealed that two Soviet MiG fighter jets buzzed in what is commonly known as an attack profile, a United States destroyer in the Baltic Sea recently. And this is another testing of the, should we call this testing of the waters? I mean, they've been buzzing us with their bombers. They've been bringing their submarines, what I would call dangerously close to the coast. And now they're in an attack profile. That means it looked for all the world, if you were on the ship, like these jets were attacking the ship.
But it does show a complete lack of respect for Obama, which is understandable. But my concern with all of this is they're going to provoke a response. And if there's a response, we're going to be humiliated and also hurt. Because let's say, and I'm using this South China Sea, I'm getting very concerned there because, they're building more and more of these ports to be able to put, you know, surface-to-air missiles, to be able to jets. And they've been warning us, you run your ships, we're going to do something. What are we going to do when they sink a battleship?
Well,
take it to the UN?
This would be the precursor to something like that, because you would...
That's what I'm getting at.
The purpose of them doing this is twofold. One, to show the world that they're the big dog and they can push us around, right? The other thing is to note the reaction that you get on the target. In other words, to see what they do on the ship. So that if you were to launch an actual strike, you might have a better idea what they could do on the ship to counter the strike.
And we stopped flying.
Yeah.
We ceased takeoffs and landings. until they went away.
Yeah, well, we weren't going to do. Well, this was a destroyer. It was not an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, it was a destroyer. Right.
So, but nonetheless.
Yeah, but they were launching helicopters.
Yes, right. Exactly. Yeah, we grounded our aircraft.
Yeah.
So as not to, you know, cause any problems.
I mean, can you imagine that? We don't want to cause any problems when they're buzzing the ship within, 30 yards or something? I mean, that to me is just...
In an attack profile.
And do you think Iran would like watching that? Seeing a bunch of, here we are, Mr. Wimple backing off again.
Well, they want to push it. They want to push a response before Obama's out of office.
You got it. So that's what concerns me. And I'm worried about a major conflict, which Obama will back off and can get, you know, tens of thousands of us killed.
Let's hope not. Let's go to Al on the line right now. Al, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, Al.
You got a contest entry for us?
No, sir. Actually, I didn't get a chance to hear the
vice. We'll be doing that at the beginning of the hour.
Yeah, we're looking for vice presidential picks for candidates.
Al should have a vice presidential pick.
Yeah, like I picked Martha Stewart to be...
you said to be a vice president?
Yeah.
Tommy picked Hillary's vice president as OJ.
To be OJ Simpson, yeah.
I'm going to pick, I say Donald Trump should get Ron Paul.
Oh, you're going to go reality on us, huh?
I'm going to go reality.
You going Ron Paul or Rand Paul?
Ron Paul.
Right, the old man, all right.
The old man.
Oh, boy, those two would get along well. You know, I don't think they want to be bed partners or anything, you know.
Not likely. It'd be interesting to see them on a stage together, though, because Paul's kind of a small guy and Trump's kind of big.
That was a good one for all.
They can hold up their hands and see who has bigger hands, right?
Yeah.
All right,
well,
Al.
Considering they changed the rules the last time to keep Ron out, I think he'd be a perfect candidate since we were all going for Ron.
No, I see that logic now. That's right. He's right. They changed the rules last time to bump him.
Right.
All right. Gotcha. All right. Goodman. All right. Let's go.
Yes,
right. But that's not why you called, though, I take it.
That's not. I was just going to touch base with what you guys were talking about before. Like, even though, you know, I do support Trump and I'm a Trump supporter, but I'll support both of them. I like both of what they're saying.
Yeah, they're both on the same page.
They're both on the same page. But to me, I don't think he was pandering to Cruz. I don't think he was pandering, you know, while it's kind of slow right now. I would disagree because I think, if I remember correctly, I remember Trump saying those things first. Even though these are things that Ted's been standing on for a long time, I think that Trump was making it known first by saying, you know, the Department of Education. He also said something about the IRS. And then I started hearing Ted start to piggyback more and more off of that and start being more vocal on that. So, you know, I say that even though it seems like it's something that might not get done, I think Donald's like a one-term president. I don't think he would want to do it too. I think he just wants to get in there, get it right, and then be done with it, you know?
That's quite possible.
That's quite possible.
It's a nice long-term job for Cruz.
I think I would want him to go in and try to do something radically different. You know, the same way that Barack Obama radically changed our country, we need a radical change to go back. So even though there would be some conflict, there's always going to be that conflict.
Yeah, no
I
doubt.
I still think that they should go for it. I think they should go for it with the Department of Education.
Yeah, I like the idea, too. And, yeah, Trump, he hasn't talked about the other agencies, but he's mentioned the Department of Education over and over again. He says, what do you need that for? You know, why do we even have it?
And the EPA.
Yeah, you're right. That's right. I forgot that. He has a long time been against the EPA because we're way overregulated.
Well, we need that to help our businesses tremendously.
He said he would cut regulations. He would have all agencies cut regulations back to where they were 10 years ago.
Right. And start. There's some states that are actually 85% owned by the government.
Florida's about 30%, but you're absolutely right. Got to go, though, Al. You're
all
in
right,
the contest. Excellent phone call.
All right.
Thank you.
He's in for.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. When I'm a road.
Secondary.
All right, welcome back to the show. Speaking of secondaries, it's time for the secondary hour of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. as we come to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. Thank you for tuning in or sticking with us. We appreciate you ever so much. I am Christopher Hart. Along with me in the studio is the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. We also have Rick Brown, local businessman and recovering politician himself, in the studio with us. And Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge.
Now, Chris, what are the prizes?
I mean,
these are starting to call in. I want to make sure they're treated well.
All right, we got our Thursday contest going, and the rules, the contest Mike came up with today is, you know, it's time we start thinking about vice presidential picks. You know, we've been talking about Trump, Cruz around here
forever
and ever.
We've got to help these people.
But we need to have picks for the rest of the candidates. Or if you want to pick a new running mate for Donald Trump, like I did, you can do that. I think that Donald Trump should choose Chris Rock as his running mate. Any man who can stand up for 3 hours in front of Hollywood hypocrites and call them hypocrites and racists and have them applaud, and while doing it on international TV, that guy has got communication skills, baby.
I agree with yours.
We need to have him in the fight.
You know, mine is Bernie.
Yeah, Bernie.
And I think a perfect guy for him would be El Chapo. El Chapo's sitting down there in Mexico. I think we could get him out of jail. Bernie could with a pardon.
Yep.
And then El Chapo could supply all his voters with free drugs. And that could keep him in a, you know, stoned and stupid, which really qualifies for a very good Democrat. I think he'll be a very nice combination, those two, Bernie and El Chapo.
Gives a whole new meaning to the phrase, the burn.
I know. Could you imagine seeing the stickers, Bernie and El Chapo?
Yeah. Feel the burn in your nose as you snort the cocaine.
Now, Hillary was with the Reverend Al this morning at one of his conventions.
That's right.
And she was lecturing white people and calling us white people. So I think the Reverend Al would probably be your great vice presidential pick. Not only do they have a kinship, both being felons or felon wannabes for not paying his taxes, but he could also be a good dialect coach for her. When she decides to come on and say, I am in no ways tired.
No ways
and
tired.
And lecture white people about how they should feel about things.
I tell you what, they could go to get to the same perm at the same hairstylist, too, right? You see them sit there under the dryers together, you know, those big dryers.
But they have to have the 1970s perm that Reverend Al used to have.
That's right.
I mean, Al's head is actually bigger than three-fourths his body. You ever see him walk around? I mean, I would like to see him shave his head and get like an Army crew cut.
His skull reminds me of those skulls they find in caves that were really elongated, and there's aliens or something. They don't know where they came from, right?
I mean, he always has a nice suit on and this giant head, and I would love to see like a flat top on him.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's go and see what some of our listeners.
This looks like he's pumped up.
Yeah. Robert is up first, then Bruce. So, Robert, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, I'm absolutely pleased with it.
All right, Robert.
Okay, for the contest, I'm going to have to say Jesse Ventura.
It would be who? I'm sorry?
For Donald Trump, running mate, the governor, Jesse Ventura.
Okay, yeah, all right. And why?
Well, for one, he likes to win. He does not like to lose.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, like all the Panama paper connections, he'd definitely kick their teeth in.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse's off the wall. We know that, right?
So I could see them both wearing feather boas at the convention.
No, I could see that. I could see Jesse Ventura.
Okay, go ahead, Robert.
Well, like I said, you know, I've been investigating my mother's murder case and everything, right?
Yes.
Well, I just recently got an update that Pam Bundy, our lovely attorney general, shut down the case because she got a phone call.
And who would the phone call have come from?
I don't know, but from the more digging I did, and I started a little incident with a Pakistani on Fox News Sunday last week, and he kind of spilled something, so I'd done some digging, right?
Yeah.
Well, Meridian Enterprise Corporation is the American connection to the Panama Papers. If you go on dark web and look at WikiLeaks, you'll find out all the players, and some of them are high-ranking government officials here in the U.S. Now, I've already turned over the documentation that I was able to find to the Benghazi senator. Something will come of it.
You said Meridian what?
Meridian Enterprise Corporation. They were founded in 1978.
Corporation 78. We'll look into that, Robert. Thank you. I was, you know, this Panama thing hasn't turned up any American officials yet. It's only got to be a matter of time, though, because you know somebody's been taking advantage of this. Perhaps this Meridian.
But, you know, like I said, a lot of times in these, like the Cayman Islands and stuff like that, it's like blind pools that you're in. You're really dealing with trust. You know, I mean, you know,
so you may be in it, not know it.
Yeah. In other words, you would go down there with your money, and you just give them the money, and their response is, you know, we've done this for hundreds of years. You trust us, and that's it. But I mean, they know whose money it is, but your name's not there. But where you really get drilled is if you try to bring it back. Bye, bye, buddy. You're going to jail.
Oh yeah. Well, I found out that's where both of my biological parents' life insurance policies went.
To the Caymans?
Good luck getting it back.
Oh, yeah, I've already figured that out. So I have to go public in order and basically raise a big, giant hoop and holler.
All right. Well, we'll help you hoop and holler.
Well, I'll help him spend the money down the Cayman Islands. Right. You got a problem, Robert. Let me know.
You got to get his hands on
it first. Absolutely.
You know, I got a good few bars there that I think you enjoy.
we'll be in touch. You're in the contest, too. Thanks, Robert, and good luck with that search. Bruce is up next. Bruce, thank you for calling tonight.
Hello.
Hello, Bruce. How are you doing tonight? Thank you for calling.
I'm doing good. So my contest entry is, I think Hillary's running mate should be Anthony Weiner.
That's a good one.
Because, you know, things haven't been going too well with Bill, and Anthony's been looking for some companionship. So
keep it in the family, too, with Huma Abedin, right?
I know she could keep an eye on both mates.
Yeah, get a little menage going there. All right, Bruce, excellent entry. Thank you. We appreciate you being out there. All right, that's what we're looking for, folks.
It's all different directions people seem to be going. You know,
Trying to help the candidates, right?
Hopefully we'll be remembered, you know, 6-7 months from now, so we'll see.
Okay. All right. Before we go any further, and if you have a contest entry, and we will decide the winner before the show is over tonight, we'll announce it at the last of the show. 407-774-8255 is the number. I want to divert here for just a minute. I woke up this morning, and on the news, there was breaking news about a deputy constable, they call him, I guess, an officer in Houston, Texas, who was ambushed last night. Happened late last night, about 11:20 local time, their time, in Houston. He's basically a sheriff's deputy, was standing outside another sheriff's deputy's car talking to the other sheriff's deputy in the car. So as he was standing there, somebody came up behind him and shot him as many as 6 times in the back. I believe one bullet entered his side, but mostly he was shot in the back. This was obviously an attempt to kill the man. He has survived so far anyway, even though one bullet is still lodged close to his heart. And that wasn't all. If that's not bad enough. And, of course, this is just on the heels of that nonsense out of Chicago.
That was terrible.
Also, across the state, in Austin, well, not across the state, but a couple towns over in Austin, by the way, the Houston deputy's name is Alden Clopton, and he is he appears to be an African-American, a black man with children, and been on the force 11 years. And a highly respected law officer, not just on the force, but people in the community as well. Then in Austin, a SWAT team member was shot in an arrest attempt. Two police officers shot in the line of duty. It appears as though they will survive. At least we hope that they will survive. But then their problems don't end, because we know from talking to Jimmy Brown and Peter Hernandez and Scott Nylander from the Wounded Officers Initiative that they're probably going to have difficulty now for the rest of their lives if they can't go back on duty, because there's no safety net for these guys.
And they don't have the benefits that you do in most jobs, which I was surprised and shocked when they came in here.
They do not.
Put forth the idea.
They do not.
But you're going to be emceeing Chris.
So I would like you folks to join us and help show support, both financially and spiritually, emotionally, for men and women like these. Saturday night, I will be emceeing an event called A Night with Heroes, and the tickets are $45 per plate. All the proceeds go to benefit the Wounded Officers Initiative. You can get those tickets at woundedofficersinitiative.org. Just write it all out, woundedofficersinitiative.org. This is going to be Saturday. The doors open at 5 o'clock. It's going to be right over here close by at the Shriners Auditorium, which is at 2300 Pembroke Drive. That's an Orlando address, but you can get to it off of Maitland Avenue there. Pembroke Drive and the Shriners Auditorium, $45 per plate. 5 o'clock is the doors will open. 6 o'clock is when people will sit down for dinner. A Night with Heroes. There will be wounded officers who will be there from around the country to talk about their experiences, both how they got to be wounded or injured and afterwards, which, as we said, there is no safety net. And this last night, unfortunately, these things are happening all too often. And it seems like more and more often they're ambushes. They're not officers being shot so much in the line of duty where they're in action, like those two officers in New York,
right,
where they walked up behind and shot him in the head.
Execution
style, exactly. Thank
you. Where can you buy tickets now again, Chris?
WoundedOfficersInitiative.org. WoundedOfficersInitiative.org.
Up to what time? Can you buy it all the way up to the date?
You can get them through tonight, and you can try tomorrow, but it's Saturday.
Is there a phone number?
It's Saturday. Let's see if I have a phone. I tell you, I don't have a phone number, but if you can't go to WoundedOfficersInitiative.org, call Nick right now and leave your phone number, and we'll get the proper people in contact with you. Once again, this is going to be Saturday night, A Night with Heroes, and believe me, it's an honor and a great privilege to be not just be there with these folks, but to be the MC for the event. But all I'm going to do is introduce and let them do the talking that night. I'm going to sit and keep my mouth shut for a while, which I know you folks think is going to be difficult for me to do, but I will be able to do it, I guarantee you. A Night with Heroes this Saturday. Get your tickets, please, at woundedofficersinitiative.org so that we can show our support for police officers who have not just been wounded in the line of duty, but who are on duty. Right?
Right.
They're out there doing the dirty work for us. Whatever job you think you got and it's dirty, it don't even begin to compare to police work.
Right.
I guarantee you that.
Chris, when those fellows were on here the other day and recited, you know, all the bills that these people receive and the lack of coverage they have by an insurance, and, you know, it's really a tragedy that I don't think anybody would envision, you know, unless somebody really explained it to them. And so I think anybody attending that dinner is going to have an interesting and educational time for sure.
Just the other night when Jimmy Brown was in here, an officer who was injured, he was run over purposely.
Oh, yeah, remember that story?
Here in Orlando, yep. Was back in surgery. And once again, these guys and gals are not being taken care of. Help us show them the support they deserve. All right, let's go to Mike. He's up next with a contest entry. Mike, thank you for holding. We appreciate you calling tonight.
Hey, guys. I don't know if you saw Al on Megan last night, but she kept on saying, well, the DOJ came out with a report that exonerated Darren Wilson. And Al, I don't know what his, you know, didn't have a teleprompter, but he kept on going, well, the DOG. And he kept on saying DOG for the DOJ. It was insane. But it wasn't just one time. It was like three or four times. Anyway, my contest entry is I would like Huma Abedin to join Hillary in the, the sanctity of White House Hood or whatever. But the way I think it's going to work is Huma will run for vice president, but she's got to Americanize her name. And so it'll be Huma Wiener.
I'm a wiener. I'm a wiener. You're a wiener. Everybody's a wiener.
And then Bill and Carlos Danger can say, Bill Clinton and Carlos Danger wants you to support Hillary. And I'm a wiener.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, we appreciate that. You are definitely in the contest.
Okay.
All right. We appreciate that. All right.
Thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, Mike. We
Mike
appreciate
always
you.
Comes up with a rather unique sense of humor on those things.
Indeed,
you know what I mean? That was. I
kind of like White House Hood, though. I think I may have to use that.
Yeah, there you go. All right, let's take a break, though. When we come back, we'll have your contest entry as well and continue the conversation. Once again, please join us for a night of heroes. WoundedOfficersInitiative.org is where you get the tickets. China girl president catching it from everybody. Even the North Koreans are lecturing the man now.
Chris, did you see that the Wounded Warriors that they had a major celebration, and of course, who shows up but Barack Obama? Could you imagine that? I mean, in all seriousness, the resentment for this guy by the Wounded Warriors. What has he done for any of these great people? And I mean, I could just see it because I was watching it on TV, and I'm thinking, oh, man, he doesn't want to talk to these people too long because I don't think you're going to like the results. But
that's right.
He was there. I guess he didn't have a golf game. Maybe it rained.
All right. We got our VP picks contest going tonight. If you have a contest entry, give us a call right now. Rick, you were showing me where the North Koreans were channeling Abe.
Yeah, well, I hear that President Lincoln is pretty upset with President Obama as well. The North Koreans have produced a letter from Abe Lincoln chastising the president over his deception over Pyongyang's nuclear ambitions. And the 16th president took the current president to task.
Did he now?
Back from the grave.
Back from the grave.
I tell you, those Koreans, they got a way about them, right?
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, there's a lot of disrespect.
Just amazing.
Disrespect being shown as president around the world, everywhere from, these
tongue-in-cheek
letters
Iran.
From North Korea, Iran, sticking their nose, their finger in our nose, and our... sticking their finger in our eye, and they're going to do it again. There's going to be more missile tests. Now they're announcing them ahead of time.
Well, they could actually and Friday they're supposed to have two major missiles that go like 2,750 miles. They're getting closer and closer.
Yep.
And our people acknowledged this week that, geez, they really are developing a missile force.
And
no kidding.
That there's not much we can do about it.
Yeah, that's really the sad thing about it, and nerve wracking.
You always believe your enemy. When they tell you they're going to do something,
they're going to do
something. You have to take it to the bank.
And now you got Russian MiG fighters in an attack profile buzzing a destroyer in the Baltic Sea.
I mean, that is so scary for those fellows that are on those ships. I mean, I hope they're ready to go. I mean, are we ready to hit them? Because if they're that close, I don't know if you'd even have a chance to respond.
A few months ago, it was the nuclear bombers, the Soviet nuclear bombers on the coast of California and up in Alaska, right?
They bring them right to the edge, and then they pull out.
Yep. Yeah, well, what they're doing is they're testing the waters. They're seeing,
we know that.
Well, they're seeing what our response would be.
Yeah,
which is weak
which
and ineffective.
And I was going to say, non-existent, other than that we lock on with radar.
Right.
Now, as far as this ship and the commander, the skipper of that destroyer, he had a pretty split-second decision to make. Do we fire or do we not?
I know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you jeopardize your whole crew, and when they come within 30 yards of you,
I guess the only thing that kept him from shooting was if he knew that they were Russian MiGs, he probably would have guessed, one, they're probably not going to shoot, and two, I don't want to start World War III,
right.
Even if they do. So
but it's bye-bye to you and your ship.
Well, unfortunately so, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the decision.
Well,
we
should never be in that posture.
The skipper shouldn't be put in that predicament.
You're not kidding. And that comes down to the fact that there's disrespect for our guy.
For our president.
Everywhere.
That's right. Okay, we got a couple more contest entries. I want to get to them before the break. Bob, you are up next. Thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, good evening. I don't have a contest. I was just sitting there listening.
Okay, go ahead.
You just made the one comment about Obama talking to the Wounded Warriors Project and all that stuff. If Obama was doing his job, if he was doing what he was supposed to do as president, you wouldn't need the Wounded Warriors Project because all these guys would be taken care of by the federal government, the people supposed to take care of them.
That's a very good point, too.
Excellent point.
Very good.
You're absolutely right, Bob. Good point.
Every time we see that commercial, my wife and I go ballistic off the couch. Where's Obama and where's the federal government taking care of these guys? These guys deserve the best.
I know. The one that really aggravates me is the one that's Michelle Obama's in it. That really grabs me.
Oh, that would turn my stomach.
Yeah. But, Bob, that's an excellent point, and thank you for making it on the show. We really appreciate you calling tonight.
That's a very good point.
It is.
Simple, but right to the heart.
And very valid. Very valid. And once again, there is one candidate out there who keeps harping over and over again how we're not taking care of our veterans. Need I tell you who it is?
Donnie Trump.
Mm-hmm. Let's go next to John. John, you are up next with the contest entry. Thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, guys.
Hey, John.
I'm going to hook old Bernie up with a VP running mate. I'm going to make his running mate Mickey Mouse.
All right.
Because all his programs that he's announced, everybody need to be Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
Mickey Mouse.
All Mickey Mouse.
Oh, I like and that.
Mickey Mouse. Everybody loves Mickey Mouse. It's a small world, after all. And he got them big old hands. He can be waving to them. He's always smiling. I think Bernie and Mickey, they'd be good together.
They sure would. That's right. All right. You're That's in good. The contest with that one. It's a great one, too.
He might consider Flipper with him. You know?
Thank you, guys. God bless.
All right, John.
If only Bernie had Barack's ears, it would be a total fit,
I know.
Right?
Oh, my God. Perfect.
It would be a perfect fit. All right, we're perfectly out of time with this segment of the show, so we'll take a break. Come back on the other side of the news.
Men. I like men like that, but only when they're brainy, like the American adversaries. These guys are sexy and smart.
And we're back. That's right, folks. The American Adversaries. We're here for another half hour, and we're right in the midst of our VP pick contest. We want to hear some from the ladies. We don't have a lady entry yet. So please give us a call at 407-774-8255. And don't forget, you can also participate in our poll, our online poll. You have to have the app. You can find that app at am660theanswer.com or search for WORL-FM-AM at the App Store. Not only can you participate in the daily polls, but via the app or the website, you can also register for the Tax Day Bonus Sweepstakes. And you get a bonus extra 3 days to file your returns. Why, Rick?
Because it's Emancipation Day.
In Washington, D.C.
The only area that celebrates Emancipation Day, but your federal government is allowing the IRS to take the day off.
How do you like that?
Wow.
Gives us an extra.
The IRS actually gets a day off?
They take the day off for Emancipation Day in Washington, D.C.
And we get to take a couple of extra days to file our returns. But real quick, I want to get an update on our online poll, our app poll. Nick, can you go ahead and give that to us, please? Okay, I'm sorry. Nick is on the line. He's taking contest
entries. Man.
They take a priority. We'll get to that poll later. But first, we have some polls out. This is a brand new poll out of Fox, did you say, Rick?
Yes, the Fox News National Poll now has Donald Trump leading Ted Cruz nationally by 45-27.
45-27. Where's the show?
And John Kasich comes in third with 25%.
25.
But close on the heels, evidently, of Ted Cruz.
Wow.
Hillary is leading Bernie Sanders 48-46. So almost a dead heat.
That's a national?
Wow, that's the national.
That's within the margin of error for them.
Yep. Also, I think this will help convince Cruz maybe he ought to go for VP when he starts realizing that Kasich and him are neck and neck. I'm not sure, Ted, that you're going to make it anyway. So
well, I tell you, 45-27.
Yeah,
that's not
good
news.
Spread.
That's not good news for Cruz, and the fact that it's 27-25.
That's what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's even worse news.
I mean,
for
can you imagine Trump going like, "Well, maybe I'll take Kasich instead of you, Ted."
Well, it doesn't appear as though the whole nation is, according to Ted, coalescing behind him.
Not quite. Not with that spread.
Not with that poll, anyway. All right, Dave is up next with a contest entry. Dave, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate it.
I was thinking and thinking, and then it finally struck me. Hillary has avoided the FBI for decades.
Right.
Indeed.
Whitewater, Vince Foster, ad infinitum.
That's good.
Who better to be her VP than D.B. Cooper?
Tell people who don't know who D.B. Cooper is, because there may not be enough people out there old enough to remember.
Her long-lost brother. He's avoided the FBI. He's the one who, on Northwestern Airlines, back in the late 70s, I believe, got a $100,000 ransom and then parachuted out over the wild...
It was Washington State.
Washington State.
That's right.
Never been found.
Yeah.
And is still to this day a fugitive. So a great couple, a power couple, and knows how to dodge the federal government.
The law. That's right. I like that. D.B. Cooper. That's right.
That is pretty strong.
That is good.
Yeah, yeah, he's reaching into the past.
And
that.
Actually, the name D.B. Cooper is even not quite right because it wasn't a Dan Cooper or something like that, and somehow it got to be known as D.B. Cooper. But yeah, this guy, he parachuted out of the back of a 727.
That is
back
really
when you remember
funny.
The 727 had a rear stairwell, and he parachuted out of that doggone thing, and that's right, no one has ever found him. They did find some of the money on a riverbed.
They did, but they never found him.
It was a very small amount of the money, and of course could have been left there on purpose by him.
So there'll be the legend of...
The legend of Hillary and D.B. Cooper. All right, Dave.
Next TV show.
I like that one. You are in it, man.
A woman has just appeared.
Okay. All right.
Catch you later.
Thank you. Thank you, Dave. God bless you. All right, Danny is up next, and then Susan. Danny, thank you for calling tonight.
Hey, guys. I'm going to take Bernie Sanders. I'm going to give his VP as Larry David.
Larry David.
So that, you know, when he starts talking to himself, you know, he's actually talking to himself and not looking so crazy.
Well, not not only that, but Larry David could be a plausible and believable stand-in for him, right?
Yeah. Bernie's sick today. Here's Larry.
That's right. I like that, too. Man, these are good ones.
That's okay. A good one. Yeah.
Danny, thank you. We appreciate you calling tonight. Thank you so much.
Chris, we could change the face of politics today.
I think we do that every night.
Oh, yeah, I guess we do. Or the content or whatever.
Let's go to Susan next. Susan, thank you for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Yes, I would like to nominate Hillary Clinton. And for her vice president, I would think the perfect running mate will be a little Mexican chihuahua. And the reason is she already understands the language. And, you know, she could interpret for the Mexican chihuahua. And it would represent Mexico. So.
I like that. The only problem is I don't know how to spell chihuahua.
D-O-G.
That's her.
Google it.
You got it. They speak the same language. I love that, Susan. Excellent entry. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right.
That was cute. She was the first woman calling today. Yeah, I was strong.
And yeah. I thought she was going to say because they're both dogs.
Oh, Chris.
All right, Hillary, I didn't mean it.
Yeah.
Settle down. All right, that's what we're looking for, though, tonight. And we got
Susan turned on Hillary pretty strong.
Yeah, that was good.
That was good. Yeah.
So you got about another 10 minutes to call in with that VP pick. That's just what we're looking for.
Now,
wait a minute. We haven't heard Rick's VP pick, have we?
Yeah, you did.
What was it again?
Reverend Al.
Oh, that's right. Reverend Al. That's right. They can go to the same hairstyle.
Good dialect coach.
That's right.
See how quickly he throws you to a side.
I know. Just the way.
Say, wait a second. I did it five times. No.
That's what we're looking for here tonight, though. All right, to get back to these polls. By the way, that's the second national poll that came out here in the last 24 hours. There was another one. I can't remember.
It was Siena College.
Siena College.
This was one on the Democratic side. They had Hillary at 52 and Sanders at 42.
Now, I believe that was a New York poll.
That was New York.
New York,
and
yeah.
They said just a month ago there was a 20-point spread. Now it's down to 10. And closing.
And the question is, can he close it before Tuesday?
Right.
By the looks, with the big event
tonight, which we didn't discuss because it's not worth discussing. No.
Did you see the rally that he held last night in Manhattan?
I know.
Over 25,000 people there.
25,000 fools.
I know. Nonetheless.
I know. The numbers are there. The numbers are there.
In terms of Hillary, the largest rally anybody has held so far this year. Even surpassed the biggest ones that Trump has had. Now, Trump has been doing them in venues where they've been turning people away, but nonetheless, over 25,000 people came out last night.
I didn't know there was that many unemployed people there.
They were mostly young college students, or young millennial types.
And school's getting out soon, too.
All so right.
They'll appear again.
But they don't really
look at this. Another Sarah.
We got a couple more entries for our contest. Rick is up first, then we'll get to Sarah. Thank you, Rick, for calling. We appreciate you being out there.
Yeah, a couple of things I want to discuss with you also, but I put Chris Christie for Trump. You get two big mouths of obnoxious guys on one ticket. Not from New Jersey, brother.
I like that, too.
This ridiculous moron of a governor is backing Trump, and yet he totally disagrees on free trade, which is important for Florida. That's the first thing I want to add.
Yeah, now, when you say he's talking about Rick Scott in this particular case, not Chris Christie. But, yeah, Rick Scott is backing Trump, and he is for free trade.
I mean, free trade is important to Florida, and yet he's for Trump. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, they're two businessmen. Maybe they just, hang out at the same place.
Another thing I wanted to talk about, I haven't heard you say anything about this ridiculous law and Mississippi and Tennessee. I think it's unconstitutional, and you're making people second-class citizens, barring them from, I don't know if you heard about that.
Well, we did, only in passing. We do need to spend more time on it, and we will. But, yeah, he's talking about the law that was in Mississippi, and, of course, North Carolina has a similar one that says, is it the Mississippi one that says that you have to use the bathroom?
Not the bathroom. The thing about barring him from even housing and
being hired.
Okay. I mean, okay. That is so, I hope responsible Republicans speak out against it.
Right. The one I was referring to is in North Carolina. The Mississippi one is even more restrictive, and it gives discretion to renters, the people who rent properties, to business owners, to not do business with people that they don't approve of doing business with.
Well, I hope all pro-business Republicans speak out against it. You're supposed to serve all the people.
Well, I think personally it's at some point it's bad business, and
I think the market will take care of itself if left alone.
That's what I'm saying. Market forces.
It will dictate it. We'll see which direction it's going.
And by the way, Ringo Starr is the latest entertainer to cancel a concert, I believe in North Carolina in this case, because of these laws. All right, Rick, we'll keep an eye on it. You're in the contest. We appreciate you calling. All right, Sarah, you are up next. Thank you so much for being out there.
Hello.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Thanks.
How are you?
All right.
Excellent. How about yourself?
All right.
Good.
My vice presidential picks would be, since we're kind of looking out on the fringe there, for Bernie Sanders, it would be Cookie Monster, because he's into redistributing, so they could redistribute the cookies.
It's kind of like handing out candy and sweets, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And for Hillary, then it would be Big Bird, because Big Bird could help her find her warm, fuzzy side.
And if she's got one.
Yeah. Well, that would be tough.
Yeah.
Well, it would at least be one half of a warm, fuzzy side.
So. One half of a warm.
Arf, 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 arf.
Pretty
fun. Sarah. Excellent work. Thank you.
Is this the Sarah that texted me last week with the contest entry that actually won but we couldn't use?
Might be.
Well, thanks for using a couple of contest entries that we could use this week.
Sounds like there's collusion here.
Both,
I don't know.
They're both very, very good contest entries. You are in the running, Sarah. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
We appreciate you being out there. All right, we got time for at least one more, so let's go to Rick, and we'll get all the ones that are on the line. We'll get you in, so don't go anywhere. Rick, you are up next, though.
Hey, guys.
Howdy, howdy.
All right, Rick.
You're saying that Ringo Starr canceled a concert in North Carolina?
He did.
So the North Carolinians are rescued from irrelevant has-been musicians by a common sense law? Go figure. Okay.
I thought Ringo Starr.
For Bernie Sanders, he needs somebody to make him, to moderate the ticket. You know, he's so far left, he needs someone more moderate than he is.
Okay.
So I want to pair him up with Karl Marx.
Oh, Karl Marx was
great. To moderate the ticket.
In order to balance out the ticket for Hillary to compete against that. We'll throw Engels in for her.
Hey, he was the guy with the money anyway, right? So he could help her out with the donations.
There you go.
All right, Rick, you're in it, man. Guys. Yeah, and I like the comment about Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
He does have a beautiful wife, though, I'll say that. All right.
Now, what does that have to do with anything? A lot.
Let's see. Frank is up next. Frank, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate it.
Has a lot to do with it. That's right.
That's right, Frank. How are you, buddy?
Come on.
All right.
I almost hesitated to call because I accused Big Mike of playing for Alabama last time I called.
Joe Paterno.
Oh, my God. I didn't eat for 2 days. I felt so bad.
That's all right. That's all right. He got over
We're over it, Frank. You know, a couple of vodkas, and, you know, we're okay.
He was pouting for a couple of days.
Hey, you know, I would vote for Ted Cruz in a minute over Hillary. But
oh, God, yes.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot understand. If I had to, I'd vote for John Kasich over Hillary. I mean, for God's sake, it's Hillary Clinton. I mean, golly. Okay, anyway.
But here's the thing. They're scared of Trump, okay?
Oh,
but they despise Cruz.
Yeah.
So they'll do anything to get Trump out at first. And then Cruz gets the nomination, they'll all turn on him, and he'll lose.
You better believe
Trump's our only shot. Only shot.
I think you're right.
So, okay. My contest entry, everybody else is like, you know, real clever and it's, you know, and it's funny stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
I got an actual, like, you know, serious one.
Uh-oh. Okay, scares me,
so
Frank.
Deadly. I'm afraid to say it on a radio.
I think he's setting us up.
Back to,
okay.
You know,
go ahead.
Right.
All right. We can handle it.
All right. Well, pray this doesn't happen, but I can't even say this guy's name without puking. Hillary and Colin Powell.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I got it. I got that one real well.
Oh, dude. Lord.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we're back, and we're just about out of time. So if you're not on the line right now, we're going to have to make a decision with our VP pick contest here tonight. Nick, do we have any more contest entries on the line? Okay. All right. So let's see, we're cutting it short on time. So we need to pick out a winner here. Do you guys have let's start with Nick.
Yeah,
Nick,
let's get a review too.
Nick, we got
a little bit of a review.
All right, let's go back to Tommy. Tommy, our first entry said Hillary's VP pick should be O.J. Simpson, right? Mm-hmm. Because then he would be able to teach her how to act after being acquitted of a crime she obviously committed. He knows all about that sort of thing. Let's see, we had Al who said Trump should pick Ron Paul because Ron Paul's the one who got aced out last time. A little revenge there.
Right.
Robert said Trump should pick Jesse Ventura because they're both winners
Which
and they can bust
that one.
Bust some heads, right?
Right.
Bruce said Hillary should pick Anthony Weiner. And I can't remember why he said Anthony Weiner. Do you remember?
It wasn't with Huma.
No, that was Mike.
Yeah, that was Mike that came in with Huma. Where
Weiner.
He was walking the line.
Yeah, that's my favorite.
That's right. Okay, that's your favorite?
I like Mike.
Okay. Yeah. John came in with Bernie should name Mickey Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Dave came in. Hillary should name D.B. Cooper, the famous hijacker who's never been caught by the FBI.
That's pretty cute, you know.
One of the few people to be on the 10 most wanted list they never caught up to. Don't know anything. I mean, never found him when he was dead or anything, so he may actually still be alive, although he'd be very, very old. Danny said Bernie
Sanders. Very, very old.
Danny, he might be Bernie Sanders.
He rips his face off, and that's the guy.
The composite, though, of Bernie Sanders is a young, skinny man. I don't know. Danny said Bernie Sanders should pick Larry David. You know, they could be stand-in. Susan, this is my favorite, said that Hillary should pick a Mexican chihuahua. Because they both speak the same language.
I like your explanation. That made it as much as the image of the dog.
Rick said Trump should pick Chris Christie, two big mouths, right? Sarah, this is another good one, said Bernie Sanders should pick the Cookie Monster, you know, free giveaways and all
right.
that. And Hillary should pick Big Bird to help her find her softer side. No, she doesn't sit on her softer side. The softer side is on top of her shoulders, right?
Yeah, real soft. off.
Rick said Bernie Sanders should pick Karl Marx to moderate the ticket, and Hillary should pick Frederick Ingalls. And, of course, Ingalls was the money man back then, so he could help her out there, too. And Frank, and I guess he's going to cap it off, said Hillary, and this was too real for any of us here, so he's obviously going to lose. Said Hillary should pick Colin Powell. Ooh, that gives me cold chills.
Oh, that is a horrible thought.
It's too possible. It is too possible. All right, let's start with Nick LoCicero. Nick, who do you think should win?
Lay it on us, Nick.
I like our first entry, Tommy, with O.J. Simpson.
I like that one, too.
It makes a lot of sense. I like it. It's funny. It's good.
It is.
Because of Auld Lang Syne, I'm going to go with Tommy, too. As a former teammate.
And roommate.
Right. I got to go with who I know.
Rick, you can
I can go along with Tommy.
All right. Okay. Well, Tommy will get first place, but since I'm a host of the show and I like the Mexican Chihuahua, I'm going to send her a $20 gift certificate, good. Consolation prize.
That was good. That was very nice of you.
Very good. Right. Okay. All right. And once again, the prizes are compliments of Cafe Positano, Jerry's Mercedes Benz, and one of our listeners with the bumper stickers, Cindy, sent us the bumper stickers, and of course, Scott Miller with My Liberty Threads.
Yep.
All right.
Great package.
And when we contact these people, if they have not received a bottle of Roxy Pacifics, we will throw in a bottle of Roxy Pacifics. You can find this stuff at skinfix.us. To fix your skin, go to skinfix.us. The summertime's coming. Mosquitoes are out there. And burns and cuts and all that stuff are on the way. This stuff is the perfect remedy for it. And we had that caller just the other night. He said he uses it for
eye
wash.
His eyes.
His eyes dry out, and the medicine that they prescribe doesn't work. He uses this stuff. It's great. So,
let's try it at Norm Martini tonight and see how it tastes.
And I almost forgot the Bible and immigration. This book we're also
going to
put
in. That book is outstanding.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope they really read it. Yeah. And they'll understand why Trump and everybody stands the way they stand on the issue.
Okay. And once again, please join me Saturday night for a night with heroes to benefit the Wounded Officers Initiative. You can get the tickets. They're $45 per plate. All the proceeds go to benefit Wounded Officers Initiative. Those tickets you can find at woundedofficersinitiative.org. While we're talking about debates, tomorrow night we're going to have a fella from the UCF Young Republicans out because they are hosting and we will be moderating a debate of some of the senatorial candidates, some of the fellas looking to take over Marco Rubio's old job. Right. And we'll be doing that on Monday at UCF.
Wonderful comment on taxes, regulations.
We'll be asking them all those tough questions.
They're going to be asking all these questions.
Megyn Kelly's going to be my guide in this.
Oh, I thought she was going to be on there with you. I'm thinking, wow, hello, Betty.
Speaking of events, also, a lot of stuff is going on with these delegates and conventions, and is there going to be a contested convention and all that? Well, the Greater Orlando Citizens Action Network is hosting Mark Cross. Now, he's the Republican committee chair in Osceola County, and he's going to be speaking at the Eastmont Civic Center Tuesday night at 6:30, and the subject matter is going to be contested conventions and what it's all about. And this guy will be going to the convention, okay? So you'll get a firsthand view of that particular part of this cycle. And then we have also added a fun event in May, Cinco de Mayo.
I know. Right? What a great day. This is going to be outstanding in the place we're having it at.
In
what
the
a
spirit
treat.
Of that, we're going to do a Cinco de Mayo party at Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs. And we're going to have a contest that night, too. You want to tell them about it, Rick?
This will be great. We're going to do a taco eating contest on Cinco de Mayo. We'll have live entertainment. We'll be out on the patio. It's going to be a beautiful night. It is our busiest day of the year. So if you really want a fantastic time, Cinco de Mayo at Tijuana Flats cannot be beat.
And that's, of course, any Tijuana Flats, but we're going to be at the one-to-one. He's talking about is in Winter Springs at the intersection of Tuscola Boulevard and 434.
And if they want to compete.
In the Winter Springs Town Center.
Yep.
And we will be there on the air live. And it'll just be a great time. Come on out and join the fun.
Yep. If they want to compete, they could call in because we're looking for competitors.
We're looking for contestants.
We know the Predheads are showing up. We know
nice.
A few others are going to be there. And get your name in because it's going to be it'll be fun eating, right?
Yep. It's going to be fun eating.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay? So you got a lot of great stuff to look forward to, including us being back on the air tomorrow night. Okay? And also, there's a prayer march in downtown on Sunday, and we're going to have representatives of that on the show tomorrow night as well. So we got a big show lined up for you tomorrow night. I hope you enjoyed tonight's show. Thank you for all the contest entries. Great stuff. Congratulations to the winners. And we'll be doing something like that again next week. All right, guys, thanks
all
a lot.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Great time. I appreciate all these contests.
Oh, that's great.
You know, it's fun for everybody.
Night, everybody.
Good night.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.